to the book of Romans, chapter 12. We saw pictures and images and messages declaring that Brother Nathaniel Hilly went home from the hospital. Saw pictures of him getting in that minivan, making the trip back home, Plant City. That's an answer to prayer. Another illustration we need to learn something from today. May God teach us something. According to what little we can read, and Charity has seen posted by the family, it looks like Brother Humphreys is going to be taking treatments for that brain cancer. So that teaches us which direction we need to pray. God would be pleased to use it. Perform a miracle and raise him up through these means to his honor and his glory. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to take the time this morning to read the entire chapter. It'll be the text for today. Lord willing, it'll be the text for next Sunday's message as well. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, rather prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given the hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. couple weeks ago, we preached on our assembling. We preached on our coming together and how we ought to come together in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not out of obligation, not out of duty, not because we have to, but we ought to come to church seeking to be blessed of the Lord. We ought to come to church for the positive blessing of the Lord upon our life. We ought to come to church hoping to hear Him in these days of difficulty and wickedness and fear, hoping to hear Jesus speak to us, peace. Peace be unto you. Did you come this morning to the house of the Lord seeking to be blessed of the Lord? Seeking to come away from the world and to hear Him say that which we most desperately need in these days, peace. Peace be unto you. Last week, we saw how that sinners are the enemies of God. Sinners are at enmity with God. To the one who is unsaved, to the one who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, there is a war between them and God. And they feel that war, and they feel that strife, and they feel that contentment, and they feel that rage within their bosom. And we saw how that Jesus Christ died to reconcile that sinner to God. Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died that a peace might be brought between God and the sinner by their receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when one receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the peace treaty is signed. The war is over. And not only is there no longer war and raging between God and the sinner, but peace. But within the sinner who is now saved, there's no longer a war, there's no longer a raging, but there's peace. Do you need peace with God? Do you long for a peace inside with Almighty God, your Creator? It only comes through Jesus Christ. It'll never come any other means, any other way. This morning in our text, drawing particularly from the 18th verse, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We ought to come to God's house wanting to hear Him speak peace. Sinners need to see that there will never be peace between them and God until they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. This morning we want to speak about peace between people. Peace between people. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It is possible for there to be peace between us and others. And we're challenged, if you would, in that 18th verse by the Word of God to live at peace, to live in peace, to live peaceably with all men. Are you at peace with all men? Are you at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ? As we gather here today in hopes of hearing him say, "Peace, be still." Because we know the peace of God within our hearts because Jesus is our Savior, may we be able to say that we have peace among ourselves. Peace amongst others. Peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's three things I want to draw out most immediately in our message today in relationship to this subject of peace between people. Then hopefully have time to make some comments from the text itself. Peace between people. First thing I want us to consider and to be reminded of this morning, in relationship to having peace between people, peace between our brothers and sisters in Christ, peace between each other, first thing we need to be reminded of is God provides all the resources. God provides all the resources for us to have peace amongst ourselves. Anything that you see in Scripture that God calls us to, God requires us of, God directs us of, you're going to find He always provides all that we need to do that. He never rests upon us and our ability. As much as possible, live peaceably with all men. That's the calling of God to everybody here who is a Christian. And as we're called to that, we need to be reminded it's not in and of ourselves that we do that, but God provides all the resources for us to live at peace with others. And if you're not at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're not at peace with your fellow members of Faith Baptist Church, there's nobody to blame but yourself. You can't blame the other guy because they might be at peace and not even know you're upset. You can't blame God because God provides everything you need to be at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We know this passage of Scripture well. My grace is sufficient. But we don't always get the whole message. The promise here is God's grace is sufficient for all that we face. God's grace will meet the needs of all that we're called to go through. Whether it be infirmities or reproaches or necessities or persecutions or distresses for Christ's sake. When I am weak, I am strong. Be at peace. As much as lies within you, live and dwell according to peace with all men. God's grace is sufficient to help us do that. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Similar thought, if you pay attention and look at the words of the Apostle Paul in this reference. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now pay attention. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. God is able to make all grace abound. Don't give sparingly, give bountifully. How are you going to be able to do that? God is able to make you able to do that. And we heard a little bit about this in Sunday school. You trust God and you give bountifully. He enables you to give bountifully. Then he comes along behind you, having enabled you to give bountifully, and blesses you for that. You can't outgive the Lord, because the Lord is providing all that we need. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound every good work. God is able to make grace abound toward you, that you might have all sufficiency in all things. That in all things you may abound every good work. As much as possible, live peaceably with all men. That's a good work. God's grace is always there to be our sufficiency. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 3, 4, and 5. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and knowledge. Grace be unto you and peace. God provides for us grace, sufficient grace, for us to do, for us to be all that he would have us to do or be. and we can be at peace with each other because God gives us the resources to live at peace with others. If you're a child of God and you're at war with your brothers and sisters in Christ, don't blame God. You take the name of Jesus Christ and you hate a brother or sister in Christ, don't justify it. God calls us to love and to dwell at peace with all men. Whatever He calls us to, He provides the grace to do that. And so if we sit here today lacking that peace amongst ourselves, it's our own fault. It's our own fault. Not only does God give us the resources to live at peace with others, God gives us the capacity. God gives us the capacity to forgive those who wrong us. How can I be at peace with so-and-so? You don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. Doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient. And there's nothing too great that you don't have the capacity to forgive them of if you'll just forgive them. We've got people in Baptist churches who have been in Baptist churches for years, and they've been mad in Baptist churches for years. And they're miserable being a Baptist because somebody wronged them or somebody hurt their feelings years ago, and they can't even remember what it's all about, but they can remember it was something. They're not living at peace with each other. They're not living at peace with their brethren. And it's not God's fault. Because God provides us all the resources to be able to be at peace with each other. And God gives us the capacity. Get this. You, I, we have the capacity to forgive no matter what. Whoa. Well, you just... What did God do for you, my wicked friend? What did God do for you when you were vile and wretched, ungodly, putrefying in His nostrils, so wicked, so sinful? What did God do for you in that condition? He forgave you! And the Bible tells us, let us forgive one another as God has forgiven us. See, we have the capacity to forgive. We just most of the time choose not to forgive. A state of war has been declared between us and others, and we insist on living there. But like I said a moment ago, this is truth more than it's not. Whatever you're bent out of shape with concerning the other person, they don't know anything about it. They're not miserable. Most of the time, the only miserable one in the group is you. You don't know what they did. They probably don't even remember. But we have the capacity to forgive one another. Therefore, we can be at peace with all men because we have that capacity. No matter what they've done, we have that capacity because He forgave us. I think I have this in the right order. Colossians 3:13 tells us to forgive one another as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. And the next note I have is Ephesians chapter 4, and I think I'm in the right order here. Ephesians 4 verse 3, 2 speaks of us forgiving one another as Christ hath forgiven us. We have the capacity to forgive one another because God, for Jesus' sake, forgave us. We have the capacity to forgive one another this morning because Jesus, you know that guy? The one whose hands were pierced for you? His side was thrust through for you? The crown of thorns was plunged down upon his forehead for you? His feet were pierced for you? You know that guy? He forgave you. How can we not forgive one another? How can we live declaring we are unable to forgive them? And that's not the problem at all. That's not the problem at all. Third thing. Got to word this so you'll understand what I'm talking about. Not only does God give us the resources to live at peace with others, not only does God give us the capacity to forgive those that wrong us, I believe God removes from us the desire to know what loving somebody, what opening ourselves up to somebody is going to cost us. See, the flesh is always concerned about the outcome. Well, if I open myself up to them, I'm liable to get hurt. I'm just afraid if I open myself up and I try to be a friend to somebody, I'm going to suffer for it. That's the way the flesh works. Keeps us from doing anything that's pleasing to the Lord. Keeps us from being obedient to the Lord because we're afraid of being hurt. God is able to remove that fear. Get our minds off of that. Because of so much to say and so much to cover, I'm just quoting scriptures. But I need to turn to this one in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 24. A man that hath friends, well, pay attention. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To have a friend, you have to be friendly. To have friends, you got to open yourself up. You got to be vulnerable. You've got to be willing, humanly speaking, to risk it. Not concerning yourself with the outcome or the possibility of getting hurt or regretting it. Just trusting the Lord. You won't. You want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6, and 7, somewhere in there. We're told, we heard it last week, not to lean to our own understanding, but to trust the Lord. Don't lean to your own understanding. Well, if I do this, I'm able to get hurt. Don't lean to that. What's the Lord tell you to do? Trust Him. Trust Him. Don't be controlled by your feelings. Don't be controlled by the limitations. Don't be controlled by your fear of being hurt. You want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. You must trust the Lord. And He gives us the resources to live at peace with others. He gives us the capacity to forgive those that wrong us. He removes the desire to know the potential of hurt. And we can live at peace. With one another. We can live at peace with each other in the body of Christ. Go back to our text of Romans 12. This passage of Scripture is salted. It's seasoned with much instruction about living at peace with one another. What is necessary for there to be peace between people? First thing that is necessary, according to verse number 3, is that a man should not think more highly of himself than he ought to. To dwell at peace with others, you got to get your eyes off of yourself. You got to stop thinking so highly of yourself. You need to be careful not to think more highly of yourselves than you ought to. As long as you esteem yourself and think you're really something, you're going to get your nose punched in and you're going to get your feelings hurt and your feelings offended all the time. That's why our world's in the mess it's in today. That's why we have all of this crime. That's why we have so much violence and so many taking of innocent life. People have been taught all about self. All about me, 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 me. And all that matters is how you feel. We're programming and we're indoctrinating the generations that are coming up to think highly of themselves. And you can't live at peace with anybody as long as you think highly of yourself. Think you're better than others. Think you're justified. But that's the generation that we are living in, and that's probably going back another generation. Where people have been taught to think highly of themselves. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4 and 5 reminds us that we are members. How's it completed? Members one of another. Members one of another. You want to be at peace with people. You want to be at peace with God's people. You want to be at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't think too highly of yourself. And don't forget we're members one of another. What is the church? The body of Christ. The members, parts of that body. And all the members of a church are connected one with another and make up one body in Christ. We're members one of another. See, that's the problem with most churches. There's no connection. People are disconnected. They have forgotten if they ever knew that when they became a church member, they became part of all the other ones that make the whole. Verse 6, 7, and 8. Teach us that in the church, in the body of Christ, we all have duties, we all have responsibilities. There's a reason God puts everybody in a church. So if you want to be at peace with one another, don't think too highly of yourselves. Don't forget that you're members one of another. And don't forget to do your duty to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I don't do nothing. All I ever do is sit on the church pew. All I am is a pew sitter. Then be the best pew sitter God will let you be. If that's what He's called you to be in this church, be the best pew sitter you can be. Do your duty to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse number 9 says, let love be without. I want to read the scriptural word. Without dissimulation. In a word we would better understand, let love be without hypocrisy. The hypocrite can't live at peace with anybody. Somebody who says, I love you, but in their heart of hearts they can't stand you, that's dissimulation. That's hypocrisy. And there's no peace between those kind of people. Let love be without hypocrisy. Shun evil. Cleave to that which is good. Oh my, shun evil. Don't get me started. I'm preaching on the subject of sanctification tonight. And God's given me fits. Because it wants to become a series all by itself. How can I get it into one message tonight? I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. Because people don't understand what sanctification is all about. Sanctification makes us a part, a partaker of God's holiness. Ooh. Baptists don't like that word, holiness. A lot of people here this morning don't like that word holiness because they've got eye disease. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't believe that. I'm not going to do that. I. Well, it's not about you. It's not about your standard. It's about being a partaker of God's holiness. How are you living? Is it holy? I'm not asking you, are you pleased? You don't matter. I'm not asking who you can get to agree with you or stand on your side of the matter. They don't matter. Are you holy as He is holy? There's where the rubber hits the road. That's what sanctification is all about. Are being made partakers of God's holiness. We're to shun evil. And we're to cleave that which is good. Verse number 10. We're to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Kindly affectioned. Last part of verse number 10. similar to that, not thinking too highly of yourselves. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring yourself? No. In honor, preferring one another. Paul said it when he was going over the particulars of the Lord's Supper. He said, when you come together, as long as there's this spirit of me first, let me go first, let me get the most, let me be satisfied with my eating, let me be satisfied or drunk with my taking, you can't take the Lord's Supper. But if you want to take the Lord's Supper honorably and pleasing to the Lord, what do you got to do? You got to prefer the other. Have the spirit of, no, not me, you go first. Preferring one another. Verse 11, serve the Lord. Verse number 12, rejoice, be patient, be instant. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer. Peace between people requires our rejoicing, our being patient, our being instant. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. I would just say that means to sympathize. Sympathize. There's not going to be peace between you and anybody else if you're not able to sympathize with them. Hurt when they're hurting. Rejoice when they're rejoicing. Weeping when they weep. Laughing when they laugh. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceits. Did you come to the house of the Lord this morning to be blessed? Did you come here to receive? Did you come here to enter into the presence of the Lord? And in these days in which we're living, just hear Him say, peace. I'll give you a guarantee, and I don't apologize for giving it. If you came here with that mindset, you're leaving here having heard the Lord speak peace. But if you didn't come here with that intention of hearing His blessing upon you, you're going to leave disappointed. You're sitting there right now as you look at me, as disappointed as when you came in. Are you here and you're lost? And you know you're lost. Nobody has to tell you you're lost. I believe it with all my heart, and I can't convince myself otherwise, no matter what I might hear some theologian say. I just can't get away from the fact that lost people know they're lost. If you're here and without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. Because if you don't understand anything else, you understand you've never been saved. You've never experienced that new birth. You have never experienced what everybody else seems to be able to say they've experienced. Can you understand right now, by the grace of God, can you understand that there's a state of war between you and God? It doesn't matter how much you want to say you believe in God. It doesn't matter how much you want to say you love God. It doesn't matter how much you want to say, smile, God loves me. If you're without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're the enemy of God. Can you see yourself at enmity with God? That raging and that miserable feeling deep inside of you, there's actually a reason for it. Because you don't know Jesus. Will you be reconciled to God now by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? As much as is within you, and as much as is within me, will you live at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Will you live at peace? See, we can really broaden this out, and we're not going to. We're to live at peace with all men. That means with our experience, our convictions, our beliefs, without compromising one iota our convictions and our beliefs, we're called to live at peace with all men, with those who don't hold those convictions and those beliefs. Is it possible? Obviously it is. But will you live at peace? Narrowing it back in. Within your immediate church, within relationship to your brothers and sisters in Christ. God gives you all the resources you need to live at peace. God gives you the capacity you need by His own example to forgive those that wrong you, keeping and maintaining peace. God can, and God, I believe, does remove the desire to know the outcome and gives us the grace just to trust Him. Instead of worrying about what it might cost us to be a friend, just opening ourselves up and being a friend. So that we might have a friend. Don't count the cost or risk. Just trust the Lord. Don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought. Don't forget we're members one of another. Make sure we're doing our duties to one another. Let our love be without hypocrisy. Let us shun evil and cleave to good. Let us be kindly affectionate, preferring one another. Let us serve the Lord. Let us rejoice. Let us be patient. Let us be instant. Let us sympathize. Let us be of the same mind. Let us have harmony. Where do you stand today? If you came here with the wrong attitude and the wrong spirit, repent. 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 If you came here today, as you have many times before, lost as you can be, and I'm going to use the H word because it's biblical, because Jesus Himself used the H word. Did you come here this morning as lost as you've come every time before, on your way to hell? You want to change that. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You came here with that lovely little proverbial nose of yours out of joint, been out of joint for years because of what somebody said or somebody did. Repent. As much as is within us is possible, be at peace. Amen. The hard part comes next week. Because next week we're going to look at the thought of having inner peace concerning impossible people. We all have impossible people in our lives. People we may, I'm going to go ahead and preach a message. I had a schedule. people that it is impossible, and there are those people that are it is impossible to live at peace with, but we must seek inner peace. And it's possible to have inner peace dealing with those who you'll never have peace with. And I wish I could take your brains, flash all the thoughts you're having right now up on the side wall here. Because there's a whole bunch of you here. When I said difficult people, I already made a list. Oh yeah, he's talking about so-and-so. They're hard to love. You can't love them. They're unlovable. They've been a thorn in my flesh for years. Live at peace. It's a blessed place to live. It's a hard address to maintain. But if we'll stop trying to maintain it ourselves and just give it over to the Lord and let Him maintain it, we'll come to God's house for the right reason. We'll come here knowing we're saved by God's amazing, wonderful grace. And we'll come here at peace with one another. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I know full well there's people here who don't like me. But I also know full well, by the grace of God, I've not done anything to deserve that. And I pray that God will help all of us to get these things aside. Love us, brethren. Be pitiful. Caring to one another. All to have peace. Life is short, isn't it? Some are only allowed to live to the 8th grade. Scott and Brother Austin was telling me both that last night, I think it was, they had another relation die up in Jackson area, I think. I think he said part of the Riddle family. He was 38. But he's gone now. Life is short. How long do we have? God only knows. But however long or however short it's going to be, let us be at peace. Amen. And enjoy the peace of God. Let's stand.